Good morning. Trivia game question. How many of you here, if anybody's willing to admit that they're old enough to remember, can tell me what the Sundays during the summer used to be called? No, they were not called Ordinary Time. Sundays after Pentecost, you know. Today is the 17th Sunday after Pentecost. Today is the 12th Sunday, and so on. You know. Pentecost was a season of its own. It was a feast of its own. After 49 days of celebrating Easter, when that wound down, we started up Pentecost. And Pentecost was a big feast. Double major of the first order or something fancy like that. With a privileged octave, no less. So that you had Pentecost Monday and Pentecost Tuesday and whatnot that overrode the ordinary saints' days that showed up in the middle. And then you had all those Sundays after Pentecost trailing along behind it until Advent began. So Pentecost was more or less independent. It was celebrated as a feast of the Holy Spirit. It was celebrated as a time for the individual Christian. You know, the Spirit comes to me, isn't that wonderful? And as a time for the church. Jesus ascending sent the Spirit who founded the church, who put us all in our place and gave us our job security, and isn't that wonderful forever? Well, Vatican II reframed the calendar, and in doing so, made a distinct shift in our theology of Pentecost. Pentecost is no longer the beginning of a season of its own. It's the conclusion of the Easter season. They divided the year into ordinary time, which was a new creation, which is, well, we don't have anything else going on, literally ordinary time, and two big seasons, the Christmas season, Advent, Christmas, closing with the Feast of the Baptism, and the Easter season, Lent, Easter, closing with the Feast of Pentecost. Tomorrow morning, we'll be back in green vestments. Ordinary time begins at night prayer tonight. Next couple of Sundays, we have feasts lined up, so you'll see green and white on the altar for the Feast of the Holy Trinity and the Feast of Corpus Christi. But ordinary time has begun. Pentecost, then, is tied backwards to Easter, not forwards to a season of its own. It's the culminating feast of the Easter season. Just as the Feast of the Baptism is the culminating feast of the Christmas season. And both of them are feasts about the Holy Spirit for the beginning of mission. That's how it defines itself. Look at the baptism. This was the beginning of Jesus' mission. The apostles knew it. After they decided, we need somebody to replace Judas, let's get some guys together and choose one. Well, who goes on the list? The answer was, they have to be people who were here the whole time. From the day he was baptized by John to the day he was taken up. The day he was baptized by John. That's the beginning of Jesus' ministry. Because after that baptism, the heavens are opened, and the Spirit comes down like a dove. And the voice from heaven says, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. Jesus is commissioned to go out and preach. And he begins his work. The Holy Spirit comes upon him not for his own sanctification as the only begotten Son of God. He was fairly holy to begin with, you know. But for his mission. Receive the Spirit. Go do something. Similarly here, the new Feast of Pentecost, the slightly reconstructed Feast of Pentecost. We look upon the Holy Spirit coming down upon the apostles to send them out, to put them to work, to begin their mission. And sure enough, that's what we hear in the readings themselves. The reading from John. Receive the Holy Spirit. It didn't come from nowhere. You hear first, peace be with you. And then, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is delivered in the context of Jesus commissioning the disciples. Now, this notion of being sent has been a major thing for John all through the Gospel. Jesus was sent down from heaven, and then he returns to heaven, and then he will send the Paraclete, and now he sends the disciples. The Father sent me, so I send you. We receive the Holy Spirit for that purpose, in order that we may be sent, in order that we may be disciples. Disciples, what do you do when you're a disciple? Speak what you have heard. Do what you have seen. From the beginning, from the baptism, they have seen and heard who Jesus is, what Jesus does. Now they go out and do that. And you hear that in Acts. It's the whole story of the Acts of the Apostles. That's the complete plot line. They receive the Spirit, they say what Jesus said, they do what Jesus did, they get in similar trouble for it. The Spirit comes down upon them. And they don't rejoice in the Holy Spirit. They don't sit around and say, look how wonderful it is that we have received the Holy Spirit. You know, look at this great consolation. Look, well, aren't we wonderful folks? Now, they get up on a roof and they begin to preach. And they preach in all these languages they've never even heard before. They immediately go out and speak what they have heard and do what they have seen. We see First Peter and then Paul preaching the word and curing the sick, and ultimately paying the price. They are disciples. The Spirit has come upon them because as the Father has sent me, so I send you. So that's sort of the new context for Pentecost. It's not a season of its own. It's not the birthday of the church in the sense of some great bureaucratic anniversary. Nor is it the day on which we rejoice in our own anointing with the Spirit and the wonderful consolation that that brings us. Although all those things are at least in part true, more important is the context that Jesus gives it. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. Receive the Holy Spirit. We receive the Holy Spirit to energize us for our mission. We do. And thus we bring to completion the Easter season. Here at St. Vincent's for about 20 years now, I think. 10 more years it becomes church law. 30 years of custom, unreprobated, constitutes law in the church. We have redone confirmation renewal on Pentecost as we do baptism renewal at Easter. We are anointed with the oil. It's a sign that we were anointed with the Spirit. And that too provides sort of a closing parallelism, a framework. How did the Easter season begin? We all came up and were anointed with the ashes. It's a sign of the beginning of our season of preparation. And now at the end, we all come up and we are anointed with the oil. It's a sign of our completion, our mission, our anointing with the Spirit, are being sent forth. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. Receive the Holy Spirit. Sisters and brothers, let us pray.